Morning. We begin this morning Menachos on Kuf Dalet on the Mishnah and Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. We did the Mishnah yesterday. I'm just going to quickly run through the Mishnah again. And Mirz Hashem, today we're going to finish off the 12th parak of the Masechta. The Mishnah starts off Mitznadiv Adam Mincha Shal Shishim Yisaron. So a voluntary mincha. So as we already discussed this yesterday, voluntary mincha is a base minimum of one Yisaron, and the units of measurement come only at one Yisaron at a time. This is the point we made in yesterday's daf. Remember, the previous Mishnah discussed what happens when a person brings one and a half. So there's no such thing as one and a half Yisaron. So it's either going to be one or two. And the Mishnah yesterday said it's going to be two. In the meantime, however, our Mishnah is going to be talking about the upper limits of what one mincha is made up of. One mincha is going to be made up of how many Yisaron. So we know the base minimum is one, and what is the upper limit? So the Mishnah tells us, "Misna devad the mincha shoshishim yisaron." So the upper limit is 60. Well, maybe be kli echad, and you can take it, and you can put in one kli. But above 60, you can't go. You can't do 61. Now, why not? So the Mishnah is about to give us two reasons why not. No, it's the machlokas amongst the Tanaim. Exactly why not? I reminded you yesterday. I'm going to remind everyone again today. It's not clear in this Mishnah, and it was the machlokas earlier where you match the log of shemen with the isaron. In other words, with one isaron, it's one log shemen. So does that mean that with two isaron, it's two log shemen? Or does that mean with two isaron, it's still going to be one log shemen? So it's not totally clear, meaning that issue was debated earlier in the Masechta, and it's not totally clear in our Mishnah whether or not our Mishnah is assuming that it remains a constant one log shemen, or does the logan of shemen match the isaron of flour? I think it's a little bit easier to say in our Mishnah that we're talking about where we're remaining at a one log shemen rate, and you'll see why I say that a little bit later on. In the meantime, however, the Mishnah is going to give two reasons why it is that that you can't go above 60. Imamar hare alai shishim ve'echad, maybe shishim b'kli echad, ve'echad b'kli echad, shekein. So, and if a person wants a 61, so you have to be divided, meaning now it can no longer be one mincha, but now it's going to be two menachos. You'll take 16, you'll put in one. You'll take one, you'll put into the other. And that is how you're going to deal with having 61. So the first opinion in the Mishnah says the reason why 60 is the upper limit is because for the following. If you go to the first day of Sukkot, which coincides with the Shabbos, so that is the day of the year, calendarically, where we're going to bring the maximum number of Isaron of flour. Now that's going to be 61 in total. Now, if you go through the numbers and you go through the math, and you'll see that with the 13 bulls that are brought on the first day of Sukkot, together with the Musafim, together with the Musaf of Shabbos, together with the Karban Tamid, and you put all those together, so the number you're going to arrive at is 61. So the Gemara says, so we see that 61 is the upper limit in terms of the Tzibor. Dayo liyachishu pachos min Tzibor. Echad. So as far as the individual is concerned, so the individual's mincha should not exceed that of the Tzibor mincha. Since the Tzibor mincha is 61, the individual mincha is 60. I'm Rabbi Shimon Ba'alo, Eilu Parim Ve'elu Kvasim, Ve'enen Nevlam Zeim Zeh. So Rabbi Shimon says, what a strange source for being the base model of what is the maximum number of Esronos. Because consider, you're looking at the first day of Sukkot, which coincides with the Shabbos. So there are Karbanos that are bulls, there are Karbanos that are rams, there are Karbanos that are sheep. The various flowers do not get mixed together. Like, how could that serve as a model for what is the base maximum? So Rabbi Shimon says, I agree with the number, but I have an altogether different reason why it is that 60 is the maximum. So Rabbi Shimon says, because at 60, that's a lot of Yisarna flour, but still you can mix that together with the oil. Above 60, there's already too much flour. Too much flour where the oil will not get distributed evenly amongst all that flour. And that's why earlier I suggested that it makes a lot more sense that our Mishnah is working with one log shemen with the 60 isaron. Because if we're matching the log for the isaron, where if there's 60 isaron of flour now, that means that's 60 log shemen. So then it sounds like over there, if we're matching, then you can distribute them even as we approach 60, even if we were to exceed 60. So, okay, it's the easier way to say the Mishnah. But in any event, in any regard, so Rabbi Shimon says it has to do with distribution of oil and flour. So Amar Lo, so they say to Rabbi Shimon, Shishim nivlam v'shishim v'echad, ein nivlalin. So their response to Rabbi Shimon is really? So in other words, so the difference between 60 to 61 that makes all the difference in the world, and Amar Lahem Kol Midah Shechachamim Kain. This is how midos work in general. You go into a mikvah. Mikvah requires 40 sa'ah of water. Mikvah has 40 minus just a kortav, a small amount missing. So then that's not a good shiur. That's how shiurim work. That's how midos work. We go right into the Gemara. A question was asked. So, in the Gemara, so we are discussing the exact same issue, and that is, what is the source of this halacha that 60 sarin is the maximum that a person can bring for one mincha? So, Pasuk of Yehuda bar Eli, Rosh HaMedaber b'chol makom v'amar. So, Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli, who was Rosh HaMedaber, he was always the first speaker, and he said the following. And so what he gives is the same reason we saw in our Mishnah as well. First day of Sukkot coinciding with Shabbos, the upper limit is 61. So if the Tzibor is bringing 61, the individual should be less than the Tzibor. Elu b'liya sam shachris, elu b'liya sam bein ha'arbayim, ve'ein nevlalam mizeh alzeh. So Rabbi Shimon, same point that he made in the Mishnah over here in the Brice that spelled out with a little more detail. They are different nesachim for different animals with different ratios of oil and flour. And some of them are offered in the morning, some in the afternoon. This is not one organic mincha. So, yes, it's true. The sum total of Yisaron for all of them is 61. But that's not 61 of one unit of Menachos. So how can I compare that to a private mincha of one individual where all the flowers getting mixed together? So Amar lo Amar ata. So they said to Rabbi Shimon, okay, it's nice that you're rejecting our reason. Do you have a reason? So Amar lahem, Arei hu Amar. V'chol mincha b'lua b'shem So the Torah tells us that what the Torah wants from us is when we're preparing a mincha, make sure that it can be distributed, where the oil and the flour can be mixed together. So as long as now that becomes our guiding principle in terms of how much, or the maximum number of flour, so we're looking for just enough flour so that it can be distributed with the oil. And so, with a little bit of testing and a little work in the laboratory, so they found out that 60 is the maximum. Anything above 60, and the flour is just simply not going to blend together with the oil. So, Amar kol midah chachamim kenu. Sorry. Amar lei b'shish nevlalim, b'shish ve'echad ein nevlalim. So, they say back to him, really? Is that the difference? 60 to 61? Amar lo, and yes, by the way, this entire exchange over here is exactly like our Mishnah, but this is a braisa, communicating the same idea. So here in the braisa, so the first example that was given by Rabbi Shimon is that this is how midos work, is the mikveh example, which is the same example we saw back in the Mishnah. Next example, kebeitza tamea, tumas ochlin, kebeitza chaser, shimshim, eimatami tumas ochlin. How much food do you need in order for tumah to transmit from one food to another, or for tumah to be communicated to this particular food? So the answer is you need a kebetza, the volume of an egg. Let's say the amount of food you have is the volume of an egg minus one sesame seed. So in other words, it's less than the shear. So is it going to become tameh? And the answer is no. Shlosha al shlosha matameh midras, shlosha al shlosha chasanima achas ina matameh midras. Same thing with Tumas Medras. In order for a swatch of fabric to receive the Tumah when a Zav sits on top of it, so you need Shlosha al Shlosha, 3x3. Anything less than that, even by one thread, is not gonna receive Tumah. V'chi einav lala mayhavi. Sorry, we're already moving on to the next point. So in other words, the numerous examples where this is simply how Shi'urim work. And so with all that, Rabbi Shimon now says, same thing over here. In other words, so 60 can blend with the oil, 61 cannot. Now the Gemara says blending, you know, the Mishnah told us much earlier in the Masechta that blending is one of the activities where it is not absolutely require. Now, as we've discussed in Kachim, there are basically two levels by Kachim. There are those things which are mitzvos, but are not ma'akev, and there are those things which are ma'akev. We learned earlier in the Masechta, that blending the oil and the flour is not ma'akev. It's certainly a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev. And so what bothers the Gemara over here now is for Rabbi Shimon, I don't understand. You're telling me that the entire guiding principle of how much flour we could use is so that the flour and the oil get blended, and meanwhile, the flour and the oil don't have to get blended. So I don't understand. I'm Rabbi Zera, so Rabbi Zera gives his answer. Now, I say it's a famous answer because if you look inside the Gemara, you'll see how many times throughout Shas this answer comes up. A lot of times throughout Shas. But Babasra, Chulin, Kedushin, Yavamos, Nida, Makos, Nedarim. Okay? So we get to hear this line numerous times. And that is, Amar Ebzera, Kol Arai Labila and Bila Ma'akeves Bo, V'chol Shein Rai Labila, Bila Ma'akeves Bo. Look, in terms of blending the flour and the oil together, so the act of blending is not ma'akev. The ability to blend, that is ma'akev. So there at least must be the potential for the flour and the oil to blend. That's necessary, but the actual blending is not necessary. So yes, in other words, so in defense of Rabbi Shimon is exactly correct. That the guiding principle of how much flour and oil is so that we could blend them together, not that we actually have to blend them together. Am Rabbi Bi, Am Rabbi Yeshua, Am Levi, Maisa, Bepreid, Acha, Shal, Beis, Rabbi, Shemesa. As long as we got into the topic of Shiurim, so the Gemara now is going to tell us a story which really has nothing to do with our discussion over here, but it has to do with Shiur. So the Gemara brings it in at this point in time. There was an incident once where there was a mule of Beis Rabbi Shemesa and it died. V'shiru chachamim as dama b'revius. And now there is blood coming out of the mule, and the amount of blood that came out was a revius, a log, quarter log of blood that comes out. Now, to be clear, when we talk about a nevela of an animal, so nevela gives off tuma, and that would be true both by a kosher and a non-kosher animal. So you have the carcass of an animal which did not receive a proper shechita, and by non-kosher animals, it's shechita does not help. But in other words, but if you have the carcass of an animal, so and the flesh of that carcass, the basar of that carcass, so that's going to give off tuma. Is the same thing going to be true regarding the blood of a non-kosher animal? So this is up for debate and dispute. And so there was a quarter log of shemen, there was a quarter log of dam that comes out of the mule. And does it give off tuma? Yes or no? Now, Mesa Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisnei, Hey Rav Yeshua, Rav Yeshua Ben Besera, Al Dam Nevel Shu Tor. Now, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah Nedios, and the Mishnah Nedios teaches us that the blood of Nevela is in fact Tahor. Vam Rav Yeshua Ben Besera, Maisa Vayu Nochrin, Urdayos La Arayos, Bistaria Shamelech, Vayu Olivergam, Shokim Adrakovam, Badam Lo Amr Lam Dover. On top of that, the Mishnah also goes on to point out that what they used to do is they used to take these mules and cut them open, nochrin, right? We just talked about nechira yesterday. So nochrin cut them open and because they were become food for the lions, and they did so in the palace of the king, and the ole regalim, who would have to pass by, would be up to their knees in blood, in mule blood, and lo amar lahem davar. Now they're doing aliyah l'regel, which means that they're going to the base of Mikdash. We, of course, know that in order to go to the base of Mikdash, you have to be in a state of Tahara. You can't be Tameh. If you came into contact with Nevela, you are Tameh, and you can't go into the base of Mikdash unless you tovel on the mikvah. And meanwhile, they're walking through mule blood, and nobody said anything to them, meaning the Chachamim were totally fine with the idea that they're not Tameh. And so over here, it seems pretty clear through this Mishnah Nedios that the blood of a mule is not going to be a source of Tumah. Meaning the flesh, the muscle of it, is going to be a nevela and give off tumas nevela, but not the blood. So ishtik. So upon hearing this Mishnah and adios, so he's quiet. Amar le Reb Zrik.
Is the blood of a nevela considered among the yachach adam also the dam that conveys tumah?
I don't know. So Amar le Reb Zrik. My time lo kamahader mar. So Amar le. So I'm sorry. So my time lo kamahader mar. So how come you didn't give an answer? So Amar le hechi ahadole. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi gives a really interesting answer. He says, you want me to give an answer? In other words, right now, in order for me to give an answer, that means that I'd have to concentrate. I have to be in a state of in a presence of mind where I could think. And right now, I am not in such a presence of mind. Amar Rabbi Chanan, the Gemara here quotes from the Tochacha, the second Tochacha in the Torah that found in Parshas Kisavo. So the pasuk goes on to describe that in a time of stress and anxiety. So basically, your life is going to be in the balance. And when is it that you're going to be so stressed and so pressured and so much anxiety that you're really not going to be able to think clearly? So step number one is when you buy grain from year to year, meaning you don't have any kind of surplus whatsoever. You only have enough grain for 1 year. Okay, so at least you know this year is taken care of, but you don't know what's going to be in the year following. Now imagine you're going from week to week, right? As the expression here in America goes, paycheck to paycheck. So now you're going week to week and you really don't know where your next source of income is going to be after this week. So al tamin bechayecha, and then the Torah goes on to describe that you're like literally not going to believe it. So zeh samach al palter, that's somebody who needs to go to the bakery in order to get bread and is unclear, unsure in terms of when tomorrow's bread is going to be coming or where it's going to be coming from. So Va'ugavra, now Rabibi here is describing himself, and he says, and this person, right, self-reference, so this person, Al-Paltu Samach, meaning I'm there. I'm at the point right now where I'm not really sure where tomorrow's bread is coming from. And so now, you want me to have the state of mind, the presence of mind, to be able to answer a question. You're asking me a Mishnah and Adios, and right now, I'm not sure where tomorrow's bread is coming from. I'm just simply not, I don't have the wherewithal, the settlement of mind, where I can answer the question.
When he had the general going down, they fault him for not asking for better things and like.
Right. And just a simple presence of mind, no anxiety.
We learned about tumat ochlin before, right? Blood is not a food. How could it ever become tumat?
Now, in other words, we're talking now about tumas nevela. Let's separate. Previously, we were talking about tumas ochlin, when something becomes now an edible food, so it's susceptible to tumah. It can become tummy. When we're talking about Tumas Nevela is a source of Tumah. It's an Ava Tumah. The flesh of an unshechted animal, kosher or non-kosher, is a source of Tumah. It's an Ava Tumah. So over here, what they're discussing and deliberating is whether the blood of a non-shechted animal is going to be a source of Tumah. It's a Nevela. And right now, back and forth, the Mishnah Adio seems to say it's not. So the Gemara says, "My Havela." Okay. So now, after the story's over, so let's see if we can get a conclusion on the matter. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Moriana, de Benisia, Hava, of Orele Kishmaite. Rav Yehuda happened to have been Moriana, de Benisia. He was the posek of the Nasi, and Orele Kishmaite. And how does he paskin? He paskins like his own saying. Did non Rav Yehuda Amar Shisha Dvar Mikule Beishamay Mechum Beisela. So six things where Beishamay comes out to be a Machmer, Beisela comes out. Sorry. Beit Shammai comes out to be a Mekel, and Beit Hillel comes out to be a Machmer. Meaning, throughout Shas, we have numerous machloks in between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, just as a point of real interest. The Rambam says that, in terms of the Mesorah is concerned, going back from Maimon Har Sinai, so there was some machlokas, but very little. Meaning, on most of the issues in Halacha, so there was basic agreement, and you didn't have a real fraction of the Mesorah, until the Rambam writes, until you get to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. In other words, once you got to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, you had a real fractioning off of the Mesorah. Beit Shammai basically took the Mesorah and went in one direction, and Beit Hillel went in another direction. Now, I'm describing it as two different directions, not different directions, but in other words, but there was a lot of debate that occurred, and that really was a proliferation of machlokis as it was in Klal Yisrael. Right? That's how the Rambam describes the Mesorah. By the way, Shammai and Hillel themselves debated very little, meaning there were some issues that they debated, but very little. Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, so that's really where the schism occurs in terms of machlokas. And generally speaking, throughout the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, so Beit Shammai comes out to be the machmer, Beit Hillel comes out to be the mekel. The Mishnah here tells us that on six issues, so they switch roles. Beit Shammai is the mekel, and Beit Hillel is the machmer. One of them is dam nevelos, the blood of a nevela. Beit Shammai Matamim, Beit Hillel Matamim. So Beit Hillel says that Dam Nevela is Tameh. Beit Shammai says Tahor. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Af Kishetima Beit Hillel Lotimo Ela B'Revias. And even when Beit Hillel takes the position of Tama, He only takes the position of tuma only when it's a revi'ez dam. Hoel v'yachol likrosh v'lamod al kezais. And the reason why is because what can happen is that with that revi'ez of blood, so it can congeal and it can get to the point of a kezias. Now we know that when it comes to the flesh of a nevela, so how much of the flesh do you need in order to communicate tuma, in order to be a source of tuma, a kezias of the nevela, of the basar nevela. So over here, because the revi'ez of blood, which is a liquid volume, when congealed, can turn into a kezias of a dry measurement. So therefore, that's why I can give off tuma. Anyway, it comes out over here that according to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says that dam of a nevela is in fact going to be a source of tuma. One of the rare instances where Beis Hillel is a machmer. And so Rabbi Yehuda says, fine, so that's the halacha. The halacha is that it does give off tuma. I, the Mishnah, previously learned in Adios, I guess it's going like Beit Shammai and not like Beis Hillel. Okay. We're on Kuf Dalam et Aleph, starting now the next Mishnah. And if I could say this, we're going to have a lot of fun. Meaning, in this next Mishnah, what we're going to do now is, if you like math, it's almost like a math game, if you will. Now, over here, in order to appreciate and understand this Mishnah, so we're talking about a person who wants to bring wine in of itself as its own standalone carbon. That's an unusual carbon, but it could serve as a carbon. Meaning wine comes in conjunction with Nesachim. So wine can also be brought by a person if he would like to do so as a standalone carbon. Fine. And what are you going to do with the wine? What you do with regular Nesachim, which is that you bring it onto the Mizbech. Now, do you pour it onto the side of the Mizbech like you would with Nesachim? Would you actually sprinkle on the Mizbech proper? Okay, not discussed today, but seemingly a reasonable question. But in the meantime, though, you're going to bring wine by itself. How much wine do you bring? So what we're going to learn together in the Mishnah is, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll look at Nesachim in general, and that will serve as the base models of how much wine you can bring by itself. Meaning to say like this. When you bring a keves, a small animal, so what is the nesachim made up of? So it's made up of flour and oil mixed together and wine. Well, how much oil is it if it's a keves? So as we learned already numerous times, 3 lugin. How much wine is it? Also 3 lugin. Fine. So in other words, so with a standard animal, the amount of wine that comes with a smaller animal is 3 lugin. Good. So hold on to that number. Now, what if you bring a ram as a carbon? So what are the nesachim going to look like? So once again, flour, oil, and wine. How much wine? 4 lugin. Good. So that now gives us the number 4. Now, what if it's a par? What if it's a large animal? So you're also going to bring nesachim with that, and that nesachim is going to be made up of flour, oil, and wine. How much wine? 6 lugin. So now what we have is that as a accessory to a carbon, so the options that one could bring is 3, 4, and 6. And so, if you want to bring wine as a standalone carbon, you may do so. It has to be in increments of either 3, 4, and 6, which means that 1 and 2 is just unacceptable, and 5 would be unacceptable. Now, what about 7? Can you bring 7? And the answer is going to be yes. And 8? And yes. And 9? And yes. And basically, any number above 6 is going to be fine. Why? Because what you can do now is that once you have your models of 3, 4, and 6, so you can make any combination to create any number above 6. 7, of course, is a combination of 3 and 4. 8 is a combination of 4 and 4. 9 is a combination of 3 and 6. And you can do this, and you can continuously take the numbers 3, 4, and 6, combine them, and create any number that's above 6. And that's why 6 and above would be totally fine. 3 and 4 would be fine. Now, what about 5? Oh, so 5 is no good. What about 2 and 1? Also no good. Stay tuned. There's more to discuss. That's the basic idea of the Mishnah. Everything I just said, the Mishnah says so succinctly in just but 2 lines. Ein misnad bin log shnayim v'chamisha. So what you can't do is you can't bring 2 and 5 lugin of wine by itself. Ava misnad bin shlosh v'arba v'shisha u'mishisha lamala. But a person can bring 3 and 4, 6, and anything above the number 6. Good. Everything like I just explained. Ibai lohu, the Gemara says, yesh kevel nesachem and kevel nesachem. Now, when you're bringing a certain amount of wine, is that going to be a fixed number or is that going to be a flexible number? Now, what does that mean? What's the difference between something which is fixed and something which is flexible? So stay tuned. The Gemara is about to explain. So let's say, for example, you decide that you're going to bring 5 lugan of wine. Now, as we already established in the Mishnah, 5 is an unacceptable number because there's no base model for 5. So in other words, we know 4 is good, we know 6 is good, but you brought 5. Now, so the Gemara says, now, if when you bring wine, ein keva, there's flexibility, so here's what you could do. Take your 5 lugan, take 4 off of it. Now, 4, as we know, there's a base model for 4. So bring 4 lugan by itself. Now, what are you going to do with that 1 lug remaining of wine? Okay, so what you'll do is you'll take it, bring it, give it to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash will turn around and sell it, and the proceeds of that sale will go towards Nedava. The 6 pushkas that are found in the Beis HaMikdash, where they're going to be used, money is going to be collected, and eventually the aggregate money is going to be used to purchase olas nedava, voluntary communal offerings, which will be offered at the slow time in the Beis HaMikdash for what's called Ketz HaMizbeach. Now, Iyamart Yesh Kevel Nesachim, but let's say no, that when you bring 5 lugan of wine, so the 5 is a fixed number, and it's no flexibility. So Adam Amaluhu Lo Karvi. So that means to say that you can't segment it off now, 4 and 1, but what you're going to have to do is you're stuck with 5. I5 is an unacceptable number. There's no base model of 5. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to add another 1 on top of that to get to 6 so that you can bring it at 6.
What can't you say if you say 1.5 of Pisong instead of bring 2? If you say 5, you have to bring 6.
This is not where you made a commitment. You actually brought 5 lugan. And so now, can they be compartmentalized into 4 and 1? And the Gemara is saying now, well, it depends on whether or not there's keva or there is no keva. Now, Tashma, the Gemara says, Shishul and Adava, Varamina Kenegin Me. So the Mishnah here tells us the following. There are 6 pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash, like I described a moment ago, and they are used in order to create a collection for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why 6? Because, as we're about to learn together, there are 6 different streams of revenue that come in, which may just simply be surpluses of various karbanos. So, Kenegin Me, Kenegin Moser Chatas, and now all we're doing is now looking at the various karbanos where there could be a surplus. Let's say a person set aside money for a carbon chatas, and turns out that he got a good deal on an animal, and he didn't need all that money, but all that money was earmarked towards the carbon chatas. So what do you do with that surplus money? So that's pushka number 1. Moser Hashamos, same thing with pushka number 2, but instead of a chatas, an asham. Moser Hashem Nazir, 3rd pushka, the asham of a Nazir. Okay? Why it's its own separate category is a great question, but in other words, it is, and that's pushka number 3. Moser Asham Mitzorah, the Asham of a Mitzorah also, its own particular category. So that means for your Mitzorahs that have surplus money. So in other words, again, same story. They set aside money for the carbon. Asham, turns out they didn't need that much, but the money was earmarked, so it'll go towards, it'll get redirected towards now the 4th pushka. Moser Kinim, and Moser Minchas Chote. And pushka number 5 is for kinim. For the woman who gave birth, set aside money to buy her pair of birds, comes in, buys the birds, turns out there's extra money, pushka number 5. And most of minchas chote, so for the one who is on the hook to bring a mincha of a sinner, and turns out that he's extra money, which in of itself is interesting because that person already is extraordinarily poor. So, all right, but in other words, but he set aside money, and there's a little bit of surplus, so that'll go into the 6th pushka. V'im isa litzkin shofar achmina keneged moser nesachim. So the Gemara says, now, I don't understand. If you are right, that there is flexibility, and what we could do is that if a person sets aside 5, so what he could do is he can segment, take 4 off, bring that as an nesachim, and the 1 would be sold, where the proceeds will go now into a pushka, so shouldn't we now need a 7th pushka? And the Mishnah Shkalim only tells us that there are 6 pushkas. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Hanach l'nedavat tzibur azlay. Look, whenever it's collected in the pushka, so that's going for nedavat tzibur, for the communal offerings like I described a little bit earlier. And you know what's happening? Those collections, those streams of revenue, so they're not flowing streams of revenue. In other words, they come in a little bit at a time. And so eventually what's going to happen is that eventually we're going to get enough money where we can buy carbon for the Ketz HaMizbeach. But over here, when we're talking about surplus of wine, wine is coming in at all times in the Beis HaMikdash. Anyone who's bringing a karban is also going to be bringing wine as well. So, hani shchichi, asher demitzarfi, demaru demar, bahadi adadi vikarve. So, what we can easily do in the Beis HaMikdash is there a little bit of extra wine? Fine, we'll take it. But we don't need to sell it and convert it into money to put into the pushka, because somebody else is going to have a little bit of surplus of wine and somebody else will. And what we can easily do is just simply hold that one log extra, put it together with somebody else's one log, and all we need now is the third log, and already now we could bring this as a standalone independent offering. To the I enjoyed that. Okay, Amar Rava. Tashma, Ezrach Malamishim is not in Nesachim. So the Parsha of Nesachim is found in Parsha Shlach, like we already pointed out numerous times. So the Torah says the word Ezrach, and Ezrach comes to tell us that a person can make an Adava of Nesachim by themselves. Vekama, Shlosh Elugin, and how much? Three Elugin. Uminayin Shim Ratzal Osef Yosef Tamalam or Yiyya. Now, if you want to add, meaning that three is just the base minimum, but you can add. Yachol Yivchos Tamalam or Kacha. On the other hand, you cannot take away, meaning it can't be less than three. It is the base minimum. So my Yosef Ilayim Arba Vishisha Maishna Shosha the Chazal Kevas Arba Vishisha Namichazal Ailapar. Now in the drush we just learned together, we talked about adding. What number are we talking about when we say adding? Are we talking about the numbers 4 and 6? We can't be. Because 4 and 6 are not adding. 4 and 6 are representative of what is one of the Nesachim that are brought, meaning they are models of a Nesach in the base of Mikdash. So 4 is not adding to the number 3. 4 serves as its own base model. And 6 also serves as its own model. So in other words, when we're talking about adding, so it can't be 4 and it can't be 6. Well, if it's not 4 and 6, so what number is it? So what the Gemara is going to try to argue, it must be the number 5. So Ela Lav Chamisha. So it must be 5. Shema Minayin Kevel Nesachim. Shema Minah. So that means that a person can bring 5. Now again, what are you going to do if you bring 5? Because you can't bring 5 Lugin together. So let's assume, like the Gemara is now doing, that Ein Kevel Nesachim, that there is no Kvius. In other words, there's flexibility. So if you bring 5 Lugin, so you just simply break it off. 4 you'll bring as its own standalone Nesach. And 1, well, like we just discussed a moment ago, you can add it together with somebody else's additional and bring that together with somebody else.
Is it like a partnership kind of thing, or just letting them have it?
I'm not clear exactly how it's being brought. But, okay, in other words, there's flexibility. I'm Rav Ashi Bahanan Lo Tanan Hachin. Now the Gemara says, now, let's go back to our Mishnah. You know, our Mishnah did not say that, because our Mishnah says, Ein Misnan Vin Log Shnaim V'Chamisha. Ketani Chamisha Demi D'Shnaim. Ashnaim D'Lo Chaziklal. Av Chamisha Nami D'Lo Chaziklal. So the Gemara says, you know, in our Mishnah, we said that 2 is no good and 5 is no good. And isn't 5 just as no good as 2 is? Now, when you bring 2, so that's good for nothing. Now, 5 also, presumably, is good for nothing. So the Gemara says, Midiriya Hakadisa Vakadisa. The Gemara says, okay, but if that's your only proof, that's not compelling. I'll tell you that 2 and 5 are no good, but the halacha is not the same. Meaning for 2, literally, there's nothing to do with 2. But when you have 5, so you break off 4 of the 5, you bring that as its own standalone, and then with the 1, you'll add it to somebody else's.
Why couldn't you give the 2 to somebody else?
Meaning, you can do that, or 1 for that matter. But in other words, but with the 2 itself, there's nothing you could do with the 2 in of itself. With 5, that's not true. With 5, you could break 4 off the 5 and bring that as its own standalone. So, Amar Abayim Timsel Amar in Kevel Nesachim Ha in Kevel Nesachim. Now, Abai says, look, if there is flexibility regarding the Nesachim, so great. Meaning, then I really have nothing more to discuss. But in Tim Salamar, Yesh Kevel Nesachim, but let's say the numbers by Nesachim are inflexible. In other words, whatever number you bring serves as now an inflexible number. So let's say you bring 5, so the 5 have to remain together. And what are you going to do? You're going to have to add on 1 more log. Fine. So then, Anasar Pshitali. So up until the number 10, I totally get it. Meaning, but Acharasar Mibayle. Here's where I'd be a little bit unsure. Meaning, let's say a person brings 11 lugan of wine. Now, we are assuming right now of yesh kevel nesachim, that the number you're going to bring is going to have to be a fixed number. So when he brings 11 lugan of wine, so as we already discussed earlier this morning, so you can put together the numbers 3, 4, and 6 to get to 11, and you could do so easily. That's fine. 4, 4, and 3 already gets you there. So that's fine. But what I want to know is the following. If we assume that there's a certain amount of inflexibility as it relates to Nesachim, so maybe when he brought 11, here's what was going on in his mind. Maybe my gavra l'shnei parm kamechavin. Maybe what the person had in mind is that I want to bring the wine equivalent of two parim, meaning 6 plus 6. Well, the problem, of course, is that he only brought 11, not 12. And so, in other words, what he's going to have to do is supplement with one more loaf. Maybe that's what happened in his mind. Or maybe no. Maybe he thought that he's going to bring the wine equivalent of two rams and one sheep, meaning 4, 4, and 3. So, kemechavin, trei mechad mina, vechad mechad mina, amrin, and ola. And in other words, when a person now is bringing a wine equivalent, that in order to get there, I need to combine different animals. So in the person's mind, is a person organized that I'm only going to use a combination of the same animal, meaning bull and bull, or is a person have the kind of flexibility in his head where he's ready to put together the wines of different animals? And now, if he clarified, by the way, the question doesn't even get off the ground. In other words, we're talking about a scenario where he brings the 11, and we're just simply unsure because he didn't articulate what he had in mind in terms of how he got to the number 11. And so what Abaye is presenting as a question is, what do we normally assume a person's thoughts are? Take with the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. And our last Mishnah for the day, and the Gemara. Misnad vin yayin, ve'en misnad vin shemen. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon Amar, misnad vin shemen. So a question now of whether or not a person can bring oil as a standalone carbon to the base, to the mizbech. Now, wine, it's an easier discussion, as the Mishnah itself is about to point out. Because even wine brought as nesachim, so as we've discussed time and again, when wine is brought as nesachim, so how is it brought onto the mizbech? The oil and the flour are mixed together, so it looks like a mincha. The consistency is softer, because there's more oil than there is by standard mincha. But in other words, the wine, the oil and the flour mixed together, and the wine is segregated and poured onto the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. So when wine goes up as Nesachim, it still remains a separate entity of the flour and the oil. But you see, when it comes to oil, oil as Nesachim is only coming in conjunction with flour. Oil doesn't come by itself. And so therefore, you see now in the Mishnah, Machlokes amongst the Tanayim, whether or not oil can be brought as a standalone carbon or not. And it's a machlokas. So according to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Akiva, Misnad Vin Yain Vein, Misnad Vin Shemen, oil cannot be brought as a standalone carbon. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Misnad Vin Shemen, and Rabbi Tarfon says, no, that you do in fact bring oil as a standalone. I'm Rabbi Tarfon, Mamatina, but Yain Shu Ba Chova, Uba Nadava, Av Shemen Shu Ba Chova, Ba Nadava. So Rabbi Tarfon starts off the argument, and Rabbi Tarfon says, look, we're going to use a mamatzino, a binyanav. Meaning, by wine, there is obligatory wine, and then there's voluntary wine. Can't we say the same thing by oil? So Amalo Rabbi Akiva Lohim, Amad B'yayin Shechein Krav Im Chovaso B'fnei Atzmo. Tomer B'Shem Shechein Krav Im Chovaso B'fnei Atzmo. And Rabbi Akiva's counter-argument is, you can't compare the two. Wine, even as it comes as an obligation, is still a standalone. Oil, when it comes as an obligation, oil is not brought by itself. Oil is only brought when mixed together with flour. Einstein is not vinyin star nechad. Mishnah ends off with another rule. Two people cannot bring one isarn together. Avam is not vin ola v'shlamin v'of afilo prey da'achas. However, when it comes to animals, you can have a group of people partnering together in order to bring an animal. So when it comes to a mincha, you do not have a partnership. When it comes to animals being brought, even a bird, so they could be brought as a partnership. Now, what's clear over here is that if a person wants to bring minchas nesachim, meaning the entire complement of wine, oil, and flour, so that could be brought. That is clear. Because the only point of debate in our Mishnah is only the oil by itself. Pshita, ma'od etema, minchas nedav v'gali barachman, ahani chamisha minachos in Tfeilo Kamash Malan. Hani Mila Bistama Vahecha de Parish Parish. So the Gemara says, why would I have thought differently? I would have thought differently because, oh, you want to bring a mincha? Okay, so open up to the Torah where the Torah outlines the five different types of voluntary menachos that a person can bring. And one might have thought, okay, and that's it. Meaning you want to bring a mincha, it has to model any one of the five that are mentioned in the Torah. The machbas, the marcheshes, the two types of ovens, the mincha soles. Fine, those are five menachos that are clearly articulated. Nesachim is not one of them. And so therefore I might have thought as a havamina that Nesachim cannot be brought as a standalone quote-unquote mincha. And Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush, is that no, it can be. Ein Shnayim Misnadvin. We talk about two people being Misnadev. So my time, Ilam Mishum Dichsiv, Takriv, Olanamik Siv Yakriv. So we're looking for the clue in the Torah that tells us that by a mincha you cannot have a partnership. So is it the word takriv, which is Balashan Yachid? You have that by an animal as well. Ela Ola my time dichsiv la losechem minchanamik aksiv la minchosechem. Okay. So you have the plurality of olosechem when it comes to an animal, which means partnership, but I also have that regarding a mincha as well. Okay? So that's no good. Meaning, so what is the clue? Ela mishum dixiv ba nefesh. So it's based on the fact that the Torah says the word nefesh as it relates to a mincha. Tanya mehachi, Rabbi Omer, Asher Yakriv Karbanel, Lechol Nidreim, Lechol Nidvosam, Asher Yakriv Lashem. Hakol Baim B'Shutfas, everything can come in a partnership. Lo Silei Kakosov, Ela Mincha. But the only exception to the rule would be a mincha, Shenemar Nefesh. Because the Torah says nefesh. So since the opening of Parshas Mincha in the Torah comes with the word nefesh, that tells me that only a sole proprietor of the mincha can bring a mincha, but it cannot be brought in partnership. How come by mincha the Torah uses in fact the word nefesh? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, mi darko lahavi mincha ani. Who's bringing the mincha? And the person who is in the weakest financial position, right? Poor person, meaning because the mincha is flour and oil. And so a person with means is able to buy an animal and bring an animal as a carbon. Even birds, which do not require as much money, but still. The person bringing the mincha is going to be somebody who is destitute. So consider the fact that right now, his financial status, his financial situation is in really poor shape. And nevertheless, malani alav ki'ilu hikriv nafsho. He's bringing a mincha. So by him bringing a mincha, it's ki'ilu, it's as if he's bringing his entire nefesh. Because basically, he's bringing a significant portion of his financial status in order to bring this mincha, nefesh. So, I'm sorry, ekriv nasho lefanai. Amar v'yisuk manishan as mincha shenem rabba chamisha mini tigon halalu. So why is it that when there's a mincha, there are five different ways to prepare a mincha? Now, it's interesting, the Gemara over here uses the words mine tigun. Five different ways to fry it up. Right, Tosfos over here says, don't read the Gemara so specifically. In other words, because not all of them are fried. The Machbas is fried, the Macheshet is fried, the other three are not fried, but in other words, oil is used in all of them, so we're going to use the word fried. Okay, that's Tosfos. But anyway, Mashallah Machbas v'dam she'asa lo o'ava su'uda v'yodea bo shu'ani amar lo asali min chamisha mine tigun kedei she'ena mimcha. And so therefore, the reason why is because of variety. Look, who's going to be bringing the mincha? So it's going to be somebody who's poor. And Rachmanis, he's already down, and he's feeling down, and he doesn't have a lot of money, and this is basically all he can put together. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, but don't worry. In other words, five different ways in which you can prepare it. And so even though it's quote-unquote the poor man's karbon, but at the same time, the Gemara gives the Ani the opportunity to prepare it, not but one way, but five different ways. And so therefore, the Ani is going to get excited about the idea of, I could present it this way, I could present it that way. And so it gives a little bit of a lift to the Ani, where this is what he can bring in. Meanwhile, he could still make it exciting.